Welcome to the A-Dub Club. I'm Andrew Whipple.
I'm Alex Wade.
And we are here on a somewhat grim and gray Monday evening here in Philadelphia on my end. A little windy, little blustery.
Nice enough. It's like a little bit chilly out here in New York, but it's a genuinely nice day, especially since we've been having some trash weather past couple weeks. But
it's been very fluctuating of either very bad or very nice, or sometimes bad in the morning and then gorgeous 70s and sunnies in the afternoon.
And that's something that I really miss about Seattle, okay, is when you put your winter coat away, it was gone, you know? Mm-hmm. You didn't have to think about it till the winter. And consistency is underrated when it comes to the weather, in my opinion.
I agree. Consistency is a virtue. Or what's the quote? Consistency is the last refuge of the unimaginative. Oh, he's the hobgoblin of little minds from Ralph Waldo Emerson. A foolish consistency is the hobgoblin of little minds.
I'm distantly related to him.
Oh, really?
I think I'm not 100% sure if it's by blood or by marriage. I think it might be by marriage, but I always claim that it's by blood. So
that's why you should.
Hell yeah.
But we are not here to talk about relations to poets past or present. We are here to discuss some theater, some immersive, interactive theater from New York City. When we asked the question, what did you think about Sleep No More?
Fantastic.
Absolutely. I fucking loved it.
Bold, fucking crazy. So good. So entertaining, so confusing, and just loved it. Loved it, loved it, loved it. Might go one last time.
Yep, co-signed. Went from being the thing that I had candidly wanted to see for like a decade, but then when the, like, hey, it's closing notification or New York Times article came out in November, ended up getting tickets to go see it 2 weeks after that, and then after seeing it the first time was just like so blown away with it, they were like, well, we should go again once more before it closes. And then while we were waiting for our second time to go see it, we were like, well, there's still some tickets available. Let's just go see it one more time before that. And so I have now gone from seeing it zero times to seeing it three times over the course of 3 months.
I didn't even realize you saw it three times. I thought you only saw it twice.
Yep. No, we saw it twice in January.
Gotcha.
So, quick way of explanation, Sleep No More is a theatrical production from London-based company Punch Drunk in partnership with New York-based company Immersive that is a in a style that Punch Drunk apparently has done a bunch of shows in this vein where they do promenade theater, I think is what it's called, or immersive theater, or a form of immersive theater. In a typical Punch Drunk show, you are following along. You get to enter into a set decorated, large space, typically multiple rooms or multiple levels, and you follow along a bunch of actors who are doing primarily dance performances that have something to do with some sort of story, typically some sort of historical or classic story from literature. And then you wear masks as you get to choose your own adventure of who do you follow, where do you go over the course of a time period. And in the case of Sleep No More, it is that with set in a abandoned 1930s hotel, which is a 5-story warehouse in Chelsea, I think it is, in New York City, that then is converted into this hotel and its surrounding environs. And you follow actors who are performing out a version of the story of Macbeth by William Shakespeare, as well as stories inspired from various Alfred Hitchcock movies, particularly Rebecca, Psycho, and Vertigo. And things that are tied into the historical witch trials of Paisley, Scotland from the 1600s.
I did not know the last bit after you said Macbeth.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew it was like a 1930s. I thought it was a 1930s based hotel off of Macbeth almost exclusively.
Yeah, so it just to continue, you follow along, you put on masks, and you can follow along as stuff happens throughout the theater space. And you can go from the stage, the floors that are themed to the hotel, floors that are themed to apartments, floors that are themed to a town street, a sanitarium in the woods, et cetera, et cetera. And you have a grand old time watching a whole bunch of murder and intrigue and shenanigans.
Raves.
Raves.
Yeah.
Okay, so you did get to see the rave.
I did.
Good.
Good. Also, this is there's no part about this that is going to be spoiler free. By the way,
yeah, screw that.
Yeah, I guess. What was your? Let's start from the beginning. Like, what was your first impression walking in? And like, I remember walking through. There's this dark hallway that when I went through, the lights were completely 100% off. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if it was supposed to be 100% off. But you had like zipped up your phone and gone into this narrow hallway in pitch blackness to go to this like fancy, like speakeasy style bar, with like, there wasn't a band playing at the beginning. But yeah, until you have a card that is your quote unquote, like hotel key to, you know, to get you in. And you sit around in the bar waiting for them to call you over.
Yeah. So I will say my first, the actual thing before even getting into theater, they need to do a much better job of explaining how the mechanics of your ticket work, in my opinion. Like, I had to Google a bunch of stuff, but just like stuff like and this is all in the spirit of loving suggestion, given that, as you said, I love this. This is one of my favorite theatrical experiences I've ever had. 3 times in 3 months at a very hefty price, by the way. It's like $150 at the cheapest in order to be able to go see this thing.
Yeah.
We were so confused about like, okay, wait, so when do you show up? How early do you line up? If you don't do this thing, how does this ticket stuff work? And so what I think I would strongly recommend, I think that there's, you would want to keep as much of the mystery of the actual experience once you get into the hotel as mysterious as possible. And like, I think it's good that on the website and whatever, they don't explain too really much at all, other than like the safety warnings that they have to do.
Sure.
They don't explain any of that stuff on the website. I would have liked them to like more clearly explain out, like, you'll be let in here. You should plan to arrive there this amount, you know, around this amount early.
Yeah.
This is how you're going to like, the coat check's going to work. This is, and in particular, the first time we went, we actually ended up doing that Oz's guest list thing, which was like an extra $20 or whatever. And it got you a quote reserved seat at the bar. And then we realized when we were there, it's like, oh, that's actually a bad thing to get. Other than the fact that it gets you nominally priority stuff, but they don't tell you when to line up for the priority entry and blah, blah, blah. It's actually kind of not great, because you're going to sit there and order a drink, but then your card will get called. And if you're in one of the early call cards, then like, you won't actually have time to finish your drink before your card is called. So then you go in a later group and blah, blah, blah. That like, there was enough of that stuff that I'm like, you can explain all of that without breaking any of the illusions around how the actual experience goes. Now, the counterpoint to that is, I do think maybe it's some element of like, if you are someone who does not care as much about maximizing the amount of time that you spend in the...
Sure.
So this is the thing that they should explain more clearly, which is the show lasts for 3 hours. You have your starting time that is based on like what ticket that you get and when you get it. But the show starts at the top of the 3 hours and ends at the end of the 3 hours. If you have a later entry time, you see less of the show.
They intentionally don't tell you that. Like... Yeah, but if you're looking online and you're like, oh, this ticket costs the same amount of money but gives me 30 minutes less, I'm not gonna buy it.
Yeah, like, that sucks.
I think it's a capitalism thing, you know. I think it's shitty of them,
exactly.
But I understand why they do it.
Sure, yeah. No, that's fair. And I mean this all in the spirit of like, it was frustrating and annoying the first time that we went, and then once we understood it, then it was like, okay, great, we know how this works, this is gonna be fine for the second times. But like, I also, a downside of Sleep No More is there does seem to be a sense of the like, or a plus side is it very strongly incentivizes repeat viewings. A downside is it also seems to sort of incentivize, partially through the way that they don't explain certain stuff and partially through the fact that of the way the show works, that like some element of like, oh, well, if you're in the know and you know how to make stuff work, rah, 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 which is fine, whatever. I don't know. I'm a little more... I guess as someone who now at this point is a repeat Sleep No More visitor, I find some of the, at least some of the attitude that I have seen around that from either other people in line or from stuff I've seen online annoys me. But anyway, that's getting way into the into the weeds anyway, of literally, literally before you actually entered the
yes, the no space. Offense, most boring part of the thing, the ticketing and scheduling yeah. of getting into Sleep No More.
Exactly.
Yeah, I guess the actual performance of it. What, where did you start, or like, what did you do?
So you're, like Alex said, your card gets called. It's an ace card. Ace goes first, then twos, then threes, etc. They do you in small groups, presumably to like give each group a small enough amount of people to be able to then, you had a little spiel from a person of like, don't take off your mask, don't talk. If you did bring your phone, don't take it out of blah, blah, blah. And then don't touch the actors, etc. And then they... Two different versions. You will either be, if you're in the elevator, the elevator will go up or down, and then they'll let people off at different floors of the hotel, and then you can choose to walk out. If you are in the overflow group, there's only so many people they let into the elevator. They take you into a room off the side and then say, do you want to go up or do you want to go down? And you're just let into the stairs and you go up or down. So the first time that I went, we were in the overflow group, and I went up and I went to the fourth floor, the Gallo Green area. I think we were like twos or group two or three, so relatively early in the first run.
Yeah, I think I also did that. I don't remember how quickly I found someone. I felt like Macbeth in his room was one of the first people who I saw.
Okay. It's multiple different floors, five stories inside of this warehouse. They are themed differently. So the ground floor is like a big ballroom, as well as it has some of the Duncan's study and bedroom from Macbeth. Up the second, and there's a mezzanine there as well. Up the floor from that is the hotel lobby. Up the floor from that is the Macbeth's apartment, a big graveyard area, and an orange grove, and then the Macduff's apartment. And then above from that, what I think is the coolest floor, certainly the busiest floor, the town of Gallo Green, which features an entire town square, as well as a neck on one side of the town, or one side of the town street, or the entire town street full of a bunch of shops, a mortuary, a tailor's shop, a detective agency, a candy shop, etc. Yeah. And then on one side of that, there is a speakeasy, like cardboard boxes with like a pool table and a little bar inside of that. And on the other side, there is a replica, a ruined replica of the first bar that you enter in, and where a whole bunch of witchy shit happens. And then one floor above that. Is the sanitarium, which is a big mental hospital, as well as a very creepy birch forest on the outside of the sanitarium.
I didn't even realize it was a replica of the original bar.
I didn't the first time I went. I only realized that after Googling later and then noticed it on subsequent viewings.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's nominally the same layout and the same. But there's
obviously a lot of differences. Yeah, it was so I guess the first time versus the second time, I feel like there were two modes that I had were exploration versus following the actors. And the first time I followed the actors like a little bit, but I mostly explored around into all of the different rooms. And I was kind of absorbing the space versus the second time I very much followed the actors, but I was also like kind of a little bit on a mission. Yeah, and like I could go back a third time, and I still don't feel like I've scratched the surface. I've definitely, but I feel like there's a lot of characters that I just kind of missed out on, frankly, because I was really focused on like I want to see the witches, and then also one of the witches was like kind of like staring at me for significant portions of time and like smiling at me and doing witchy things in my direction that I almost got like invited into a back room. I felt inches away because someone else did that. She was also looking at a lot, and they got a ring, and it was like,
okay, yeah. So that was Hecate then. Was the one that you were? Was she in like a dress and had?
She was.
Yeah,
bit of an older woman. Yep.
Version that you see, but yeah,
sure. During the rave scene. I saw it twice because I was like, the first time I saw it, I was like, I couldn't see most of it. And so I wanted to be ready for the next time through, but I kept kind of like stealing glances back at her. And she like, was like laughing to herself as staring at me as I'm looking back to her.
It was great. I felt,
hell yeah.
I'm an actor, you know, and I want to be involved. I wanted to be involved and like to do shit, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, the first time that I went, I think I was also sort of like that. Like I started on the fourth floor and the fourth floor is the one that has, I think, the most like stuff to explore. It's very, especially in the town area of like, it's a whole bunch of very, very, very set decorated shops and apartments and stuff like that. And so that's one where you can really wander and pick up a bunch of stuff and look at them and open up drawers and things like that. And then I think relatively soon, like within about 10 minutes or so of sort of just exploring there, I think I ended up going into the speakeasy and watching a bunch of the scenes that happen in there with the bartender.
Which is the speakeasy?
The one that's like all the cardboard boxes and has the pool table and the, it's on the,
is that the hotel?
No, it's on the fourth floor. So it's, if you
are. Oh, the pool table. Yes. Gotcha.
I ended up sort of getting there to see one of the like witch scenes that happens there and then just stayed there for a good chunk of the time, and saw like saw the murder of Banquo and, a bunch of other cool stuff that happens
there.
There's
much stuff that you miss.
Oh yeah. So that's the other thing. There's about 20 to 30 actors, I think, over in the show, something along that. And then the cast change, like a lot of them play a bunch of different roles depending on which, like they cycle in and out on different nights. Not everyone plays the same thing every time. And so we keep sort of saying about like, oh, there's so much stuff that you want to go back and you want to rewatch things like that, that like, oh, and then the other mechanic of this is that it's a 3-hour show where it's done in three roughly hour-long loops that start from the... Well, I actually don't know where it starts. It starts at the very, very beginning, but ends up going through to the point of in the... There's one crew of people that are all acting out like the story of Macbeth. And in the story of Macbeth, there's the banquet that happens where Macbeth sees the ghost of Banquo and goes crazy and everyone yells at him. The loop goes up until that banquet, and then... That banquet is
slow motion banquet, right?
Yeah. That banquet is then the reset point where it then starts back off. Everyone sort of fans out from that banquet and it restarts the loop at the beginning of the play Macbeth until the very last one where, spoiler alert for the ending of Sleep No More, Macbeth is killed, hung from the rafters during the final iteration of the banquet. But so what that means is that you can see... It gives you more chances to see different things because you're going to see the same thing will happen roughly, or much of the same things will happen three times over the course of the show, and you can catch them in different hour loops. It's not entirely true. Some stuff is different in the last hour than in the first two, but I actually did before my last time, I looked at someone else's spreadsheet and then used that to mark off like what are the scenes that I've seen and which ones haven't I. And generally speaking, there's like there is always at every single point in the show, there is something happening on like at least two different floors. Usually there is something happening on more than that. Like even if you're following some characters, like jumping to the last time that I saw, the last time I spent an entire loop just following the housekeeper. And so she is doing stuff like for an entire hour. She is going around, and a lot of that is stuff like she's replacing some props that have been knocked over in other scenes earlier and stuff like that. But like, it's like each one of those people has a full hour long thing for the most part that they are doing. And so there's so many different combinations that like, you cannot see everything in one visit, let alone
that was
five visits.
I was trying to follow Hecate around. I was trying to follow Hecate around until she like went into a door that we couldn't follow her through. Yeah. And I was like, fuck, I really was like the witches. I'm addicted to the witches. They have the craziest fucking scenes. I need to find them. So I very explicitly was like, okay, I'm going to find Macbeth. I know what he looks like. I know where his scenes are. This is the second time through because I really wanted to see. There's a rave scene that is them talking to, the devil, right, in Macbeth or something?
Yeah, I think that one is the double-double scene from the play where they're, like, inceptioning in all the ideas of, like, you don't need to be worried about woman born and you should be afraid of Macduff and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, you're immortal. You can't not die.
Yeah. but done as a
and it's just
blood
this
rave.
Wild rave. That's there's like a naked guy with a goat head on his head, and there's like flashing light or what's it called? Flashing
strobes.
Flashers or strobe lights, yeah. And so I really wanted to see this. So I saw some of Macbeth for like 20 or 30 minutes, who I had already seen some of his stuff before, and it's good. Like, again, the first time I saw it, it was great, but I was watching him again, you know, and it felt like, okay, I'm kind of wasting my time, not wasting my time, but like,
yeah,
retreading old ground so that I can go and find the witches. And then I did find the witches, and like, that was awesome, but I do want to go again.
Yeah.
And because I don't know, there's also some of the other characters that I'm just like, they're interesting,
mm-hmm.
but the thing you said about the housekeeper going around yeah. replacing all the props, right?
Yeah.
That does not sound interesting to me.
So it's yeah, no, they're, if you want to, I can share the spreadsheet if you want to get more spoilers and sure. see who are the people to follow or not. It was interesting because for me, it was kind of like both, especially on the third one of like, okay, I'd seen big chunks of most of the Macbeth and Lady yeah. Macbeth story. I'd seen big chunks of Malcolm. I'd seen all of the witches stuff, most of the witches stuff for that matter.
I couldn't find Malcolm. Like, I couldn't tell who his character was.
Yeah, he's the
so that was a struggle. But.
Yeah, he's the detective guy is Malcolm. So he'll fluctuate from the up in the detective agency, hanging out down with Duncan and in the speakeasy, gotcha. I think, for the most part.
Anyway, sorry I interrupted you. Good.
But what I found was that, so on the first run through, I ended up then following, there's the woman with the suitcase, whose
yes.
name is Agnes Naismith, is the name of her actual character. When I was saying earlier, there's like, there's the Macbeth chunk, and then there's the Hitchcock chunk in particular. And then there's also some like witch trial stuff, but that's more in terms of like, a bunch of characters are named for people that are from the witch trial, and like the town of Gallow Green is the town from the name of the town from this like 1600s yeah. witch trial that would have been influential in the writing of Macbeth because it was sort of in the
sure.
in the consciousness of King James and blah blah blah. But there's the character of Agnes is sort of a blend-ish between the lead of Psycho and the lead of, or the ingenue in Psycho and the ingenue in Rebecca. I think Rebecca is in particular the like, so when they originally did the version of this, they did a version of this with in Boston in as a co-production with MIT as just like a couple week thing before they moved it to
yeah.
New York. In that original version, a bunch of these other characters that are not the Macbeth ones had names of characters from Rebecca. So the housekeeper was named Mrs. Danvers, the Agnes character was Mrs. De Winter, blah, blah, blah. And then they had changed that because they got a cease and desist from the estate of the author who wrote the book, Rebecca. And so then they also changed up a bunch of the story. I think originally the story was much more a straight adaptation of like, it's a Macbeth adaptation and a Rebecca adaptation tied together happening at yeah. the same time. They shifted a bunch of the Rebecca stuff in particular to be more of a mishmash of Hitchcocky stuff. Anyway, sure. all that to say, I followed that first time the full loop of Agnes for like a whole hour after that because I was just like, oh, this is so intriguing and strange and weird and like, and it's not a Macbeth story, so I don't know where this is going and I don't know what's going to happen and who is this yeah. character and what's happening and like, she seems so sad whereas all these other people are like ranging from like evil to oblivious or whatever.
Sure.
And this is some person who's like, oh, going through this like, and I found by and large, I was much more engaged with the non-Macbeth stuff than I thought I would, which is crazy given that Macbeth is my favorite play in the English language.
I mean, but that I rave scene though, man.
The rave scene's very cool. I like the rave scene. But
also
no,
Hackett eating her food and oof. Mm-hmm.
But I actually did find to what you were saying before around like, oh, you're just watching someone clean up a bunch of stuff. Isn't that really boring? I don't know. You kind of get into this thing where like, especially, I did in the first hour of my third time going, I ran into the housekeeper like right away
yeah.
and then just followed her for an hour. And because there wasn't much stuff happening for like a full 15 minutes of that hour, it was just me and her in various rooms because everyone else was going off and doing other stuff. Or there weren't as many people that were in the show at that point. And like, I don't know. There's some, like, you see the little weird things that the actors are doing where it's like, oh, they pause for an extra long time looking at this thing. And like, I wouldn't, it'd be the kind of thing that like now give, if it either wasn't closing soon, or if you have already seen it a couple times, I would very strongly suggest like literally just do whatever seems interesting. Don't bother trying to hit the must do stuff. Like there is always going to be something interesting happening no matter who you follow. However, if it's the kind of thing where it's like, well, if you try to go now, maybe you'll only ever get one chance to see it. In that case, like, okay, you should probably try and see the witch rave. You should probably follow some Macbeth stuff. You should probably do. I think there's only one way to have a bad version of this, which is try really, really, really hard to get a one-on-one, get picked for one of those one-on-one things, and then you won't get picked, and then you feel bitter, and you feel like you've wasted your time. It's like, that's the only bad way to do it. As long as you go in, like, heart open, you'll have a fun time no matter what, because there's just so much stuff happening.
I'm not sure in those moments if I was, like, trying too hard, and if she could sense that or not, or, like... There was a moment where Hecate was staring at me and like had a mischievous smile for a solid like 3 to 4 minutes. Okay. And I'm just standing there trying to decide whether or not I should like reach my hand out or something, or I'm just trying to like give energy right now in this moment, whatever that means, or should I make a move, you know? And I feel like making a move would have shot myself in the foot, you know? But also, in a non-sexual way, it felt like the graduate character of just like a doting mentor, like, not mentor, whatever, of just like, pick me, you know?
Was your Hecate the older woman with like black hair, or was it the woman with black red hair? Okay.
Black hair, definitely, yeah. I think she also she technically has the only speaking lines, lip syncs to a speech in the replica bar.
Mm-hmm. So, two fun facts. Yeah, you can tell I did a lot of Googling, and I also saw it.
Yes.
I
do want to talk about that for a second, actually. Before you get in, of just the idea of going into it. Go ahead. Say your fun fact, and then I'll talk about it afterwards. Go ahead.
Well, what I was going to say, on that, the fun thing about going to see it with someone else, especially that first time, is that like afterwards when, my girlfriend and I went to dinner, like, especially that first time when neither of us had Googled anything, it was like, oh, so did you see this thing and you saw that thing? Wait, did I see you in this scene? Did you see me here? Like, oh, what happened here? Oh, interesting. And it was just a ton and ton of just comparing notes of like, what did you do for 3 hours? Oh, that is the other. If anyone who's listened to this does manage to get to go to Sleep No More, if you're in a larger group, abandon them immediately. Just go have your own experience.
Yes,
do not stay in a group. It will not be as much fun. It'll be so much more fun to compare notes afterwards. And also, you'll be actively annoying if you're like holding hands with someone and blocking stuff as people are running around and doing stuff. So go at your own pace. But
the whim-based nature of this experience is phenomenal. Anyway.
She sings. Oh God, what's the name of the song? But she sings is lip syncing over a song that's playing. And it's a man's voice that's singing. At the same time as that scene happens, in the hotel lobby, the boy witch is doing a lip sync of a different version of that same song sung by a female singer, while the porter or something like that is watching. So like those two things are happening. That's an example of there's something that's happening on multiple different floors at the same time. But
interesting.
So that happens. And then to your other point around the only speaking roles. So I did have, one of my second time through, the reason I was saying the only way to fail Sleep No More is to try for a bunch of one-on-ones and then get disappointed when you don't get them. 100%. Like I followed Hecate for her entire loop and I actually saw her loop like 1.5 times during that second time. Cause I was trying to do that thing of like, pick me, please. It was great because I got to see stuff, so that's cool. Like, it's still all good. But then after that, I was like, you know what? I don't care. Never mind. Stop this. You're not going to get a one-on-one. Just go explore. Have fun. And then it was much better and more fun after that.
Sure.
But then on my third time, I didn't get a real one-on-one. I got the de facto one-on-one in that no one else was following Mrs. Danvers for the first hour. But then at the end, when after Macbeth murders Lady Macduff, and Macbeth murders Lady Macduff in the hotel lobby, and then Macduff comes in and sees the body and then like tries to pick it up. And then I was sort of standing right by there and he like beckons me over, has me help carry her over to the couch, which is cool. And then cool. He grabs me and whispers in my ear the line, the like, all my pretty ones, all my chickens and their dam or something like that, whispers that line into my ear. Which rock, that was cool. I was so shaken. I was like, oh my God, this is like, especially it's been silent for 2 hours at that point, and then someone is whispering a freaked out Macbeth line into your ear while you're holding his dead wife. Crazy. But apparently in most of the one-on-ones, most of those involve either a character saying a line from a line or a monologue from Macbeth, a line or a monologue from Rebecca, or a story about King James and his wife Anne getting lost in a shipwreck that was caused by witches or something like that. So most of the characters do have quote unquote speaking roles.
Sure.
It's only in the one person. Yeah.
That's, I'm so curious what happened to the woman who went with Hecate into the separate room.
Like, I mean, I know what, what it is, but I will not spoil it for you unless you want to.
Yes. That is something I want to talk about of, going in blind versus going in with spoilers or like an agenda, maybe agenda is not the right word, but going in blind and just experiencing it, so fucking cool. And just, I assume you 100%. Didn't research before your first one, right?
Correct. Yeah. I read some Reddit stuff just because we were very confused about the, what is up with this, like the instructions for how the Oz's guest list thing were very unclear. Sure. So like I looked that stuff up, but yeah, made a point point of trying not to learn anything about the show itself. Other than, I did know that it was 3 one-hour loops. And 3 one-hour loops that reset at the banquet. That was the only thing that I knew about the actual show itself.
Gotcha. Did you, for your second time through, look it up?
Immediately after, on the bus ride back to Philly, that first night, we spent the entire bus ride just like Googling and reading Reddit stuff and things like
that. Gotcha. Cool.
Yeah. Partially because it was like, that also was very fun of like, cool, I had this great experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now I want to learn everything that I can about this incredible thing that I experienced.
I would want to keep, if there's like, if I could go back indefinitely, right? It feels almost like a video game in some sense of, I don't want to search in all the tiny different other ways until I've experienced them as much as I can.
Yeah.
Keep going back to it indefinitely, I would not want to look it up. Since it's closing, and I might go and ask you for that spreadsheet that you're talking about to search for some specific scenes that I might be interested in, you know?
Yeah.
I definitely want to find Malcolm and then actually follow him around. Yeah, because I spent most of my second time just following the witches around. Which was great, and like I really loved the witches. That is absolutely my vibe to the utmost extent. But I definitely, you know, I miss. So I played Malcolm last year in Macbeth in my first Shakespeare fucking ever, and I would have loved to have followed Malcolm around. Which, side anecdote, by the way, that I had texted you before, of there is a speech that is from Malcolm to Macduff that is him admitting that he is not in fact actually a bad guy. He is actually this really good guy who just needed to deceive Macduff for a little bit so that he could test whether or not Macduff was worthy to replace Macbeth as king, or something to that extent. And that speech is written on a letter in Macduff's private investigator, like PI room or office or whatever, that the first time I went, I stole, and then I felt bad about it, so I put it back. And then the second time I kept trying to look for it, or I kept trying to go and grab it, but there was always someone in there until the final time I went in there. No one was in there. I went in, was stealing myself away for like a minute or so, like longer than necessary, but I was like gathering courage to steal this thing, right? That they have cameras in there, you know? And just as I was probably about to like grab it, one of the people came by and was like, hey, the show is over. Please come with us down this way.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's like literally in the last minute, I couldn't grab it.
Yeah. I was curious about that because every time that the three times that I went, I always fall. So it ends with there's the banquet that happens every loop. And most of the characters show up for the banquet just in the normal course, especially like almost all of the Macbeth ones do. But then when it's the last time through, every character comes down and will lead whoever is with them. In some cases, I saw them like grab someone by the arm and bring them down or whatever, but they'll lead them down. And then I had heard that like if you don't follow anyone down, eventually someone will still come to you and be like, show's over. Gotta go.
And that's what happened to me. And I felt I kind of wish I stole it the very first time, but I felt so guilty about it. And then I was like, Alex, what are you thinking? Like
it's a printed prop. It's not that's the easy one. Yeah, that's the easy one to replace.
Yes. Like what are you thinking, man? You know,
don't steal a taxidermied bird, but
yes, absolutely. I don't know if it's printed or if it's like calligraphied, because it's very intense piece of paper.
That's true. If it's not, if it was calligraphied, then I would imagine that someone would ask for it back. But if they got to do another show afterwards, but yeah, who knows? Interesting.
Yeah.
Alas,
I would have felt okay.
I got my candies from the candy shop, and I have my three little business cards from three of the Gallo Green merchants.
If I do go back a third time, I'm absolutely. And I also felt a little bad because I didn't want to steal like too early on.
Oh, sure.
Because then other people get robbed of the experience of reading this thing. But also, it's such a fucking small, tiny prop. Next time, I'm just going to like the first opportunity I get, I'm going to grab it and put it in my pocket.
Yeah. And I wonder what of those things get replaced by people during the show versus what stuff like either gets replaced as a matter of course because it gets used or gets replaced as a like, oh, well. No one's in this room and someone took the letter. Hey, send a PA out to go replace it or something like that.
I assume at the end of the show, it was going to get replaced. Like,
yeah.
Like for the next show, they would say, oh, it's gone, you know? But
yeah, it's nuts. It's a lot of stuff. Yeah. No, so the loops that I've seen in their entirety, I saw all of the housekeeper's loop, all of Agnes's, the girl with the suitcases loop, all of Hecate's, and all of the nurse upstairs in the sanitarium's loop. I watched that whole loop the last time through.
I didn't go to the top floor much. I thought I completely missed a floor when you had mentioned like five floors. Mm-hmm. And then I realized like, oh no, I just didn't ever find anyone up there. So I didn't stick around.
Yeah, it's mostly empty, except for there's the nurses up there for much of it, though not all of it. She does go to some other floors from time to time. And then there's a matron who is in a hut over in the corner of that forest for a while. And she mostly just sits there for like most of the show. But she does pull someone in for a one-on-one and has a couple, has a very cool dance scene between her and the nurse where they do a like mirrored dance on either side of a row of trees.
That little hut, there was someone sitting next, like one of the PAs sitting next to it, and I was like, I'm gonna go into the hut, and they're like, no, and I was like,
probably means that there was like the nurse or the matron was in there with someone doing a one-on-one, I think.
Sure.
What's happening then. But then the rest of the sanitarium is that is another one that like it's not as opulently dressed as the like town street one, but like in the offices of the sanitarium is like the creepy shit. That's the stuff that's like, oh, this is the scary part of Sleep No More.
I want to go into the sanitarium. Yeah. But it's also so there's a lot of part of it where it's I don't know who's going to be going where.
Yeah.
And so I have to stick like I was trying to find the witches. So I stuck around Macbeth because I know he has a scene with the witches, right?
Yeah.
For the sanitarium, it's kind of a boring room, you know? Like, once you get in there, there's not a lot to interact with, so...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and the sanitarium, that was the other thing I was going to say, is that the only big scene, other than... There's some cool stuff that the nurse does up there, but, like, the only big scene there is Lady Macbeth after she has her breakdown. That all happens up in the sanitarium. Which is cool. That seems really cool.
Oh, yeah.
But. Yeah, no, definitely. I guess anyone else who has listened this far and has now been completely spoiled by the vast majority of Sleep No More, definitely
not the vast majority of Sleep No More. There's so much. Yeah.
If you want to pick like two places where, or I guess the ballroom is the place where the biggest scenes happen. But there's only like, those are two, just like the dance and the banquet are two discrete scenes that happen that feature a whole ton of people. But there's a bunch of dead space in between those. And then I think if I'm remembering correctly, that like the hotel lobby, almost always something is happening in the hotel lobby, and almost always something is happening, or multiple somethings are happening on the fourth floor in one of the three areas between the rave bar, the town square, and the pool table. Speakeasy.
Also, the rave, insane. Like, especially like you said, just follow the rave music or the EDM electronic music to go find the rave. And I was like, that is an insane statement for all of the other music that is playing in there. That is like this kind of creepy, Sleepy Hollow style music, you know?
Most of which is score from Hitchcock movies.
Yeah, exactly. And so I kept hearing, I was like, oh, could that be considered electronic music? It's kind of different, maybe, you know, until I heard, I was like, oh no, this is like hardball or whatever that term is, aggressive, like electronic dance music, or not EDM, but like, rave ass rave music, you know?
Yep. Yeah.
Like a scene from The Matrix or something, in the dungeon era or whatever, Zion with the party scene. That sort of shit, which was so out of place in like the best way, which is like the point of the witches, you know? Which I love that of like, especially in Macbeth itself, of the way how the witches talk. Like what they don't they talk not in limericks, but they talked out of iambic pentameter, right? You would know more about this.
Yes, correct. They do some trochaic tetrameter or some other thing that I don't remember off the top of my head. But yes, yeah, they're not in iambic pentameter.
Yes, they're notably like of another realm. Is like their speech and cadence and the way how they talk in Macbeth, and so it felt only appropriate for them to be these sadistic, crazy, blood fueled. Oh God, they were so cool.
Yep. Yes, indeed. Yeah. And the fact that it's a dance performance for the most part, like you're watching dancers do crazy dance shit, like in the witch rave specifically, but also across the board of all of it, that like, you're watching the, is this a knife dagger I see before me monologue done as a dance. Cool. That's crazy. Yeah. That's weird. And it works.
Yeah.
The set decoration is so intense and cool and so well designed for all of it.
Yeah. The first time I had gone, I was much more interested in like, I saw some people's performances and stuff, but I was far more interested in discovering the set design and to looking into each of the things, you know?
Yeah.
It felt, this is gonna be a weird comparison, but have you seen Westworld?
Mm-hmm.
So like the closest thing we can get right now to this separate universe, like it feels like a tenth of that. Sure, we're not experiencing NPCs, ignoring that, like we are in some extent, right? But like we're not influencing them, you know? But you're going and exploring the details of this meticulously crafted, beautiful worlds that these people are living in.
Yeah, so it is not, with the limited exceptions of some of these like special one-on-one moments that you are not interacting.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not interacting. And those are sort of explicitly designed to be like, oh, this breaks the rules that they had told you, like the literal rules that the person says at the beginning of like, don't touch and don't interact and don't talk. And then here is someone who is like beckoning you over to say, hey, grab my hand. I'm going to talk to you. So like, that's fun in and of itself that like, that there's that setting up of the rules and then breaking them later. It's one thing that I've been curious about, realizing that like I have some limited experience with immersive theater stuff prior to this, in that like there was a vogue of doing a bunch of, at least when I was in college, there was a particular vogue of doing a bunch of like, we're going to do a play where you walk around a thing and watch a bunch of scenes happen and stuff like that.
Sure.
There was, I'd forgotten about it until like the second or third time seeing Sleep No More, did actually see immersive Macbeth in like 2013 or 14 or whatever in an old fort that was at the base of the Golden Gate Bridge, that this was similar to those ones in college where it's like you are just walking from scene to scene and then seeing the scenes in different parts of this old Civil War era fort. So it's less interactive and certainly less choicey than Sleep No More, in that you have no choice. You're just being led along by stage hands literally to go from scene to scene. That is the actual scenes of Macbeth. But yeah, it does make me wonder, because this is a Punchdrunk, I think, has started doing stuff in like 2000 or thereabouts in London, and had done a bunch of shows before Sleep No More and then a couple ones after. And Sleep No More itself, I think the MIT version was 2009, and then the New York version started in 2011. I am curious. Sure. It really makes me want to experience other immersive stuff. And I definitely get the sense that like Sleep No More is the big thing that, like, in however far immersive theater has broken into any sort of like theatrical mainstream, Sleep No More is like the big one that like first got tons of attention, got it on tons of people. It reads like, and I've heard people say that like that was their entryway into, oh, now I'm into immersive theater because I saw Sleep No More at some point in the last 13 years. I'm very, very, very curious, how has the state of the art changed since Sleep No More in terms of like immersive theater? And it sort of reads to me a similar way that, like, kind of like in video games, whenever there's like a new console generation and you have the first game that takes advantage of the new cool stuff that you can do, and it like blows open the doors to new stuff. But then it takes, you know, 10 years later are the stuff that like really refines those ideas and pushes beyond whatever is the like cool new thing that the first one opened the doors for. Like the fact that you can't actually interact with these people, the fact that they picked a story that is very like, they tread upon, but also like a story like Macbeth, where it's like, oh, it's the whole thing is about like, is this a prophecy? Do you have free will? Can you make choices? And then you watch this thing that is like, here's these people that are trapped in a 3-hour loop in a trapped hotel bar that like, you can't actually make any choices, but you can feel like you made choices. And like, it kind of feels to me sort of that way of like, if this is the first one, it's not the first one, but if this is the first big mainstream one that manages to catch on, what has happened in the last 13 years, and who are all the people that learned from Sleep No More to do the next better thing?
I understand what you're saying. I feel like this is the end result, the refinement of immersive theater 10 years later. Like, it is the biggest thing that has, it's like BioShock Infinite, right? It was a phenomenal game that really opened the kind of open world nature of action RPG, I guess it's technically a role playing game. Yeah, action RPGs, first person shooter things, that it combined so many things. And yes, of course, it has influenced the genre of everything in its own way. But it itself was kind of the final product, you know?
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. I want to see the different versions of what Sleep No More is and how these things are spawned from it. But it's like, yeah.
Yeah. And this is where, like, I'm excited to see.
It doesn't feel raw, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Oh, sure. You know? No, that's actually a very good point. Yeah. No, it feels more, it to me is more like, maybe a better analogy from what I was talking about is sort of like a Mario game or something like that, where it's like, it actually, it is the very, 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 very well crafted version of this cool thing that pushes the thing forward. I think I agree with that like, nothing about this feels raw. It does feel limited in ways that I think are intentional, especially because, like, you know, you only have so much budget that you can do. If you wanted to do something that was more interactive, you probably couldn't have as large of a cast, because then how do you make 20 storylines all tie together and be timed appropriately sure. if things are allowed to change, et cetera, et cetera.
I guess but, going back to Westworld, like ignoring, you know, the murder and sex of it all, like that is the kind of final evolution sort of thing, right? Like I can I can actually see kind of a trail line to that sort of thing that is more you are involved, you know, and affecting it. I go, though, I guess that's a TV show. So, you know, but
yeah. Yeah. But I am curious. I, unfortunately it is closed and there's no opportunity to see it, but Punch Drunk did another show last year in London, I think that was based on the Iliad, or a portion Ooh. Of the Iliad in like some giant warehouses or dockside warehouses in London, and it sounded like it was really good. A lot of people said, yep, this is great. But I'd be very curious to like, yeah, if you've been doing Sleep No More for 10 years, what do you do for your next thing? Well, I actually am also curious about like, what is the next show that Punch Drunk's going to do after Sleep No More closes? Cause you have to imagine that
huge hotel, like they're going to do something with that, right? Like,
yeah. Well, I think the rumor that I heard is that part of the reason why it's closing is because, they could not get a good renewal deal with the landlords of the building. And so it is being kicked out of the building is what is prompting being kicked out of the building. And it also sounded like a little bit of, again, this is all just rumors from people on Reddit or whatever who claim to know people who are in the production crew or blah, blah, blah. So grain of salt, but it sounds like the landlord is the precipitating factor, but combined with an element of like, we've been doing this for 13 years. We want to go try something new. We want to creatively stretch our wings. Because I could see you do anything for long enough.
Yeah.
It's really cool that you want to go try something new.
And then on top of that, of like, I had heard, I thought this was from you as well, was of money, of like, they weren't selling tickets necessarily. And like, yeah, they've extended it 3 or 4 times now. But we both saw it, 5 times a peak total.
Yeah.
Because it was closing down explicitly, right? Like,
yeah.
I'm going to be sad to see it go, and I hope to see it at least one more time before it closes. But,
Yeah. I know. Yeah, no, it was definitely the kind of thing that, like, if I had seen it when I was younger... Well, one, if I'd seen it when I was younger, like this would be my entire personality. It would be like, this would be the way that like Doctor Who defined my personality for a huge chunk of high school. It's like, oh no, I'd be the Sleep No More kid if I had seen it on like a high school trip to New York or whatever.
Yeah.
Already being like the Shakespeare Macbeth kid to some degree, the like, oh, what if you take Shakespeare? What if you take
not
Macbeth?
Not much in high school.
And not as much in high school. That was more in college. But like, what if you take Macbeth? What if you merge it with The Haunted Mansion, which is my other like favorite thing in the world, and you go say like and do it and make it a noir, and like of course it's designed in a lab for me to love it, but if that was the case, it would definitely be the kind of thing that like if I'd seen it earlier, especially since moving to the East Coast, it'd be like, great, every year I'm going to go see Sleep No More at least once, maybe a couple times, like that 100% would have just been I would have been one of those freaks that sees it. I mean, I already am one of those freaks. I saw it 3 times in 3 months.
Yeah.
Sad that it's closing. Good for my bank account.
True. True.
Bad for my bank account in the short term. Yeah. Though glad to have seen it. Like a unique, very cool experience. Although my girlfriend was saying that like for all that I was talking about, like, oh, you take Macbeth and mix it with Hitchcock and the Haunted Mansion, and that's in a lab for you. She feels the same way about like Greek mythology and the Iliad and the Odyssey and stuff like that. And she was like, they did my version of it in London, but we didn't get to go see it because we didn't know it existed and it closed a year ago.
Ah,
and it was in London. It was on another continent. What else? No more.
Yeah.
But yes, I can send you the spreadsheet if you would like to see the spreadsheet.
Absolutely would. That'd be...
It breaks it down. It's really good. I'm sad it's closing. Show. I want to keep seeing it once a year for the next 10 years or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Alas. But if this means that they're going to do something else cool, hopefully in New York or elsewhere on the East Coast.
Yeah.
Although I heard rumors. A rumor that I heard, again, from Reddit is that it sounded like that maybe... So Immersive is the production company that Punch Drunk partnered with in New York. That it sounds like Immersive is going to do another show in New York after Sleep No More closes. Punch Drunk might do their next show in L.A. And might be an adaptation in the same way that's an adaptation of Macbeth, an adaptation of Phantom of the Opera. But
sure,
who knows?
They're really sticking with their macabre theme they got going on there.
Yeah, I mean, it works.
Yeah, that's fair.
Anything else about Sleep No More?
I don't think so.
Okay. If you want to be trapped in a 1930s hotel for eons and eons and eons and need something to listen to, you can listen to all of our previous episodes of the A-Dub Club at wherever you can find podcasts, whether that is Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify. You can also find our website at theadub.club. It's theadub.club. There you can find our topics guide, where you have the list of all the different things that we have talked about. You can click that and you will find the episodes wherein that thing was discussed. This one will be one that is tagged with things like Sleep No More or Theater or Macbeth. I wonder if we've talked about Macbeth in previous episodes. I don't know. We'll find out.
I'm sure.
When I go and tag. You can also then find our starter guide, which is a list of episodes that we think are particularly good ones to start with, if this is the first time that you're listening, or if you want to send links to friends to get them to listen to this infrequently released podcast. You can email us at theawclub@gmail.com. That's theawclub@gmail.com. And I don't remember if last episode was the first episode where I said, do not tweet at us on the platform known as X because it's terrible, or if this is the first time I'm saying that, but don't X bad. Yeah. Don't do that, please. No, thank you. I will not include it on next time's run through of the do's and don'ts of how to interact with our lowly little podcast. And I believe that is everything.
A-Dub Club out.
A-Dub Club out. And yeah, as I'm scanning through this, there is, I added on, okay, yeah, so there's always, at least, there's always stuff happening on at least two floors throughout the entire show, other than the ending when everyone is down at the ballroom,
sure.
But they literally funnel you all there. In most cases, there's stuff happening on 3 to 4 floors at the same time.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So literally, you can go anywhere you want and do whatever, and you will run into someone soon, and there's always something happening.
Yeah, I think you sending me the spreadsheet will give me the impetus to go
do it again.
To...
Yeah. Did you see the cool thing that is in the child's bedroom in the Macduff apartment?
No.
Okay.
I went in there once or twice.
Was this the... Is it the one with the crib or the one with the bed? Okay. Look in the mirror next time you go in that room.
Yeah, fuck. Oh, my God. Okay, cool.
Spoiler that, but that is that's my favorite scenic thing that is in the McKittrick.
Yeah, gotcha. Interesting. Okay, cool. Wow.
That and the operating theater of... in the sanitarium has one very cool element to it. There's also a very cool scene that happens in that operating theater. But
oh, I went in there and it was like, oh, there's nothing in here. I guess I should have looked around more. Fuck.
Or specifically, well, okay. So actually, never mind. This one I'll spoil, because this is one I realize that actually only I care about. In that operating theater, which is the... if you read the chalk writing all across the walls, it's Lady Macduff or Lady Macbeth's "They Met Me on the Day of Success" monologue, her intro monologue at the beginning of the show, is what's written all over, scribbled throughout the walls in chalk on that theater, which I was like, that is cool.
Whirl and Sex Me Now one.
Yeah. It took me a while. It was like the second or third time that I went in, where it's like, I noticed little words there and I was like, oh, that's fun. Those are some words that seem Macbethy. And then I actually was like reading through it while I was waiting for the nurse to finish her one-on-one. Yeah. And then I was like, oh, wait, no, this is just, this is the monologue. It's just written across the whole thing.
Yeah, that's so cool. That's also
yeah, there's a lot of little hints of Macbeth, text from Macbeth, like the letter that you mentioned, or and text from stuff in various Hitchcock movies.
Gotcha. I'm looking through the porter right now. I didn't realize that. Of course, the porter's in it. But does he have any funny scenes? Like,
yeah, no. The porter's very fun. Like, he basically spends the entire time in the hotel lobby.
And, I followed him around a little bit.
Yeah,
my first time through. I remember like he was behind the desk and or behind the hotel lobby like front desk, and like you know, you can be back there. So I was, and it was just like, there's a whole crowd in front as he's doing this meticulous thing. And I'm trying not to be like rude. And I don't want to give him the impression that I'm going to be like a bad. Yeah. Like, oh, I'm here to get as close as I can and to fuck up with you. But it's cause it's like a very narrow space, you know?
Yeah.
And being the one person who's standing behind the thing feels a little bit kind of pick me, you know, but I say pick me like the Gen Z term, not literally pick me for, I mean, also I would have loved for him to pick me for anything, but yes, but I felt awkward and I was like, oh, I'm back here. I'm staying back here now though. So he's going to pass by me. Cool.
Yep.
Yeah. Cause you can just be there for, except for like, there's like, I think the banquet scene, you can't be up on the stage with them. There are PAs on the side, but
yeah. And in other scenes, if there's going to be a like fight or other particular choreo that is required of a space, then there will be PAs that will push you aside or keep you out of different places.
And people are typically pretty respectful. I know Hecate, she clears a space for the witch. The sexy witch is the title of them on the spreadsheet, by the way.
Yes.
To do one of her scenes, but yeah.